So Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare, he's going to serve your soul. So put some soul when you're chanting. It is very auspicious to chant the Lord's name. Every living entity is benefiting. And spiders, me, everybody is benefiting. So, welcome to today's class or discussion on Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, text 16 and 17, on the subject of the opulence of the absolute. The Lord describes his opulence, potencies and position to his dear friend and devotee, Sri Arjuna. Now in particular, this request for this particular text is made on behalf of the commoners and impersonalists so that they can visualize the Lord through physical manifestation. Now, Arjuna, as stated by Srila Prabhupada, is a devotee, is a Vaishnava. The definition of a Vaishnava means one who prays for others. One who prays for others' well-being, not for himself. So as such, he is setting an exemplary example by requesting on behalf of people who are disqualified, who cannot understand Krishna, who have no tinge of love for the Lord. The modern man's conception of God, what is the modern man's conception of God? Amazing, you come to know. Are many and varied, right? Children, if you ask children those days, even now, if you ask children, what is God? How does he look like? And they will imagine an old man with a white beard. Because he's very ancient, you know. So he must be very old. But from Shastra we can understand that Krishna was looking like 16 years old. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was 125. Now I don't know which body slimming saloon he goes to, but that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we cannot understand him. It is not possible with our limited intelligence. So people will tend to imagine God. Many adults, I've been in an educational institution where my audience was all educators who are supposed to educate the next generation on what God was. And I put forth this question, who is God? And one person told me, generator, operator, destroyer. And I felt like he was describing a factory worker. You see, so that was then. And then another person said, God is light. So I asked him, incandescent or fluorescent? See, they don't know. No? So they have all these different concepts of God, which is actually speculative, which is not from the Shastra. And one person said, God was power. God was force. So I asked him, from where? Senoko power station? Which power station? Power cannot exist on its own. It must be generated, right? Except for the Supreme, this is Bhagavan himself. So you cannot give vague answers like this. Brahma says, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachit Ananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. The cause of all the causes, Sarva Karana Karanam, that is Bhagavan. But here, it's different. They'll tell you God is an invisible force. So can you imagine you meet one devotee and the other devotee tells you, may the force be with you. Does it make sense? No. We don't wish each other like that. We say Hare Krishna, right? So it's amazing. So there has been a lot of mental concepts as all humanity. They say God means everyone. Sarvam. Everything is God. Everything is God. So what is he saying? I am God also. Taki he didn't ask for Mangalarati. The universe, alright, even oneself, that is stated here very clearly. So So there are many speculative theories. For these people who don't know, who do not know Bhagavan, Arjuna is asking, how will these souls realize you? So there are many speculative theories generated by these people. So when I was there in the class, I was thinking in my heart, these people must be given the source. Right? Of course, as devotees, we cannot be offensive. So what sauce can we give them? Right? Cauliflower, pakora and chili sauce. Prasadam. Right? When you give them prasadam, they will become purified. Because we are not that qualified to, you know, change their mind. Krishna can. So the source, not chili sauce, huh? Now the source of information here in this chapter is Bhagavan himself. He is giving the information. So, as for the demons and the atheists, what happens to them? To them there is no God. If you go and tell them, they will say no, there is no God. But they will worship their dog. You see? This is how the demons and the atheists are. They will discard God and they will take in the dog. Every morning, walk the dog, chant the dog, you know, everything. Their mantras are all different. Om Alsheshanaya Namaha or something like that, you know. Om Pudalaya Namaha or something like that. This is their mantra. And then what happens the next life? They'll have a very keen nose and a tail in between their legs to be proud of. Next life, what you're worshipping, you become that without fail. So, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, here is stated, is covered by his yoga maya. Bhagavan says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrataha mudo yam abhijanati. What does that mean? He means, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my eternal potent creative potency, yoga maya. And so the deluded world knows me not. So you can't walk in the street nowadays and say, hey Prabhu, excuse me, just 1 second, can you explain what is God? What will happen to you? The guy will look at you, he'll do this kind of sign and then he'll walk away. So deluded, they are deluded, they don't know what is God. They definitely don't know what is God. But they are going around, you know. Some of them are actually even pandits. So, the Lord is known as Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. What does that mean? Yogeshwara. Here, Bhagavan is described as Yojin, the great mystic. Okay? Krishna is the master of all mystics. Have you all seen magic shows? Copperfield, Bronzefield, and all the other fields. They are all Jujubi. Okay, compared to Krishna, they are nothing. So, Krishna is known as the master of all mystics. So, only surrendered souls and devotees can see him. In the assemblies of the Kurus, remember when Krishna was going there for that big yajna? What happened? He was actually chided and abused by Shishupala, right? Because he thought, what is this cowherd boy doing here? He's supposed to be out in the fields, tending to cows. How come he is the president of the yajna? He is the adhipati of the entire fire sacrifice. How can that be possible? So he started insulting. And so did many other personalities who were not actually devotional. They were not devotees. But who supported him? Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev, he proclaimed him to be the supreme god. And similarly the Pandavas and a few others, who knew that this was Swayam Bhagavan. This is the original personality of Godhead. They actually acknowledged him. And not everyone else. Thank you, Prabhu. Because sometimes the sneeze is a confirmation. Not bird flu. Huh? So, he was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that for his pure devotees, all men consider himself, him to be themselves. And he was manifested only to his devotees as the reservoir of pleasure. But to others, to the unintelligent non-devotees, he is covered by his eternal potency. Now yesterday we were in the class, Krishnachandra Prabhu was giving an excellent class, His Grace. He was explaining on the subject of the prayers of Queen Kunti Devi. Actually, I shouldn't have said the name, but she is known as the most intelligent person. I wanted to ask you all, who is the most intelligent woman? Not Margaret Thatcher. It is Queen Kunti, right? So she is known as the most intelligent woman. Every mother should aspire to become such a personality. You know, when Krishna asked her, what would you like, auntie? What would you like? And she said, give me all the troubles that you gave me last time. Would anyone want to ask that? Unless you are from IMH. You know, otherwise you won't be asking things. So unless you are mental case, you know. But she, being such a supreme, you know, devotee, she said, give me all the troubles. And for what? But during the troubles, I could remember you. That's what I wanted. Kirtaneya Sadahari. Amazing, isn't it? So, constantly remembrance. That was what she was asking for. So in 1.8.19, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yogamaya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yogamaya curtain is also confirmed in Ishopanishad, mantra number 15.1.5, in which the devotee prays, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Pihitam Mukham Satvam Pushan Apavarnu Satya Dharmaya Drishtaye. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe. The devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Such a beautiful prayer. Amazing. The transcendental, your transcendental form is covered by Yogamaya. The Brahmajyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchit Ananda Vigraha, your eternal form of bliss and knowledge. That was a beautiful prayer. So sometimes when we are chanting, when we are in front of the Lord, in the deities, it is good to memorize these sort of prayers and then recite. But when we recite, we cannot recite like we are reciting because it is copyrighted. Right? You will be sued. No. You see, when you are chanting someone else's prayer, for example, Bilvamangala Thakur, or for example, my favorite, King Kulasekara Alvar, when you are actually chanting these verses, in your mind, before you start to utter the mantra, you must actually seek his blessing and ask him in your mind, my dear Kulasekara Alvar, you are such a great personality, so I am now going to chant what you spoke in loving service for the Lord, so please make that verse have the same potency as you chanted. Seek his blessing and then recite the verse. And that's how you actually recite the prayers. It's really wonderful. And you will see the difference. Personal experience. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his transcendental form of bliss knowledge is covered by internal potency of Brahmajyoti. And the less intelligent impersonalist cannot understand the Supreme on this account. So what do they say? Then they'll come up with the theories, like what we were mentioning. Light, formless, source of energy, etc., 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 like that. Why? Because they cannot understand. When I cannot understand, I speculate. Simple. That is the new in thing now, I guess. So, manusyanam sahasresu kaschit yadati sitaye yayutam api siddhanam kaschin mam dehi tatpataha. Okay? Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. 7.3 Bhagavad Gita. Now, understanding Krishna then is very difficult, isn't it? So difficult, you know. Like yesterday put it plain language. He put it in black and white also. It is difficult to understand me, Krishna says here. So how? What should we do? Give up? No. But although the understanding of God is a difficult subject, God explains himself in Bhagavad Gita. Right? See, when you want to do something, when you want to understand, for example, husband and wife, you want to understand the wife, where do you go? To the mother-in-law. No! You go to the wife. Right? Because sometimes mother-in-law doesn't know what daughter likes. Sometimes the father-in-law doesn't know what the son likes. So, similarly, if you want to know about a particular subject, then you go to that particular acharya to learn science, nuclear physics, and so on and so forth. You don't go learn math from a geography teacher, do you? You don't do that. Logic. So similarly, here, We don't speculate. We don't have to ask. We just simply have to open Bhagavad Gita and be submissive in the mind, and then the Lord starts speaking over here. And what does the God, what does Krishna say? I am like this and I am like this. Krishna is explaining. Plain, simple English. Sanskrit very difficult, Prabhupada translated. Thus, that's it. So the material nature is like this, and the spiritual nature is like that. Krishna is explaining. And the living entities are like this, and the super soul is like that. So Bhagavan is giving every definition that is required. So no need to speculate, no need to have any more theories, no light, no incandescent bulb, nothing. Thus everything is described, completely described in Bhagavad Gita. Although understanding God is very difficult, it is not difficult when God Himself gives us His own knowledge. Is it not? Right. What is the qualification to read Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada states in the early preface and the forward. Prabhupada actually wrote, what is the qualification for reading Bhagavad Gita? The qualification for reading Bhagavad Gita is, you must theoretically accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and become submissive. When you do that, the next thing, information, just like, you know, you have a sometimes, you know, you're doing plumbing at home, you think you can repair a pipe, and then suddenly you cause a flood, the pipe just bursts, water gushes everywhere. Like that, the information must just simply inundate and flood your mind. Krishna will just simply carry you away, like that. That much of mercy, Krishna will open up. So, in fact, that is the only process by which we can understand God. To understand God by our own speculation is not possible. For God is unlimited and we are limited. Our knowledge and perceptions are both very limited. So how can we understand the unlimited? If we simply accept the version of the unlimited personality unconditionally, then we come to the understand Him. And that understanding is our perfection. Otherwise, speculative knowledge of God will lead us to nowhere. You remember how the Brahmana cancelled that verse? What was that verse? For my devotee, I carry what he lacks and I preserve what he has. And he said, it's not possible, Krishna coming here and carrying. He just took a ruler and just cancelled it off. And then what happened? He went on to begging, right? He went to do his begging. And then what happened? A small boy came carrying so much of groceries from Kefor. No. Krishna Lok. So he came and then he delivered. And then what he told the wife? See, your husband, he asked me to carry all this and bring it over here. And then when I said no, because it was such a big, heavy load, he actually beat me up. And then he said, my husband beat? No, impossible. He is such a humble gentleman. No, he actually beat me. You want? I show you. He took up his clothing and he actually showed. There was a line on his back. Such a cruel husband I have. Let him come, that's what usually they say. Beat the varatam, let him come home. That's what they say. So what happened? He came home and she has already taken her prasadam. Usually she waits, right? That is the etiquette. She waits, husband eats and then she eats. No offenses, but that's how they put on weight. Eat two times. Anyway, the thing is, she asked, and he asked, what's happening, you know? And she said, you cruel man, you beat up the child, and so on. She went on and on and on. He says, no, what child? I didn't do anything. And then she said, this all came from this little boy. Then he realized. He went and he opened up the Bhagavad Gita, that line was disappeared. So, no speculative knowledge is required. Take it as it is. But one thing is for sure, when we are speaking to the sannyasi, to the spiritual masters, the predecessor acharyas, and Krishna himself, when they are saying, each and every word carries the entire purport. No changing, no speculation is required. As it is, we just take it as it is. So, here, there is no speculative knowledge required. Take it as it is. That's why Prabhupada said, as it is. Right? Other Bhagavad Gita, as it was, it could be, it might be, and so on and so forth. As I like it to be. Tailored. So, no, this is as it is. You take it, otherwise the danda will fall on your head. So, this is important. But as a pure devotee of the Lord, and by the grace of the Supreme Lord, Sri Arjuna had factually understood and accepted the Lord as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, In the subsequent text, 17, Arjuna specifically asked, what did he ask? How should I meditate on you? In what various forms are you to be contemplated, O Blessed Lord? Why this particular question? We were actually reading the overview by His Grace, Burujan Prabhu. And over there, His Grace said that it's because Arjuna wants to think of Krishna. Krishna recommended this process to Arjuna in the end of chapter 6, text 47. Yojinam api sarvesam mat gate nanta atmana sadavan vajase yo mam sami yuktata momataha. The Lord said, always abide in me. Think of me within you, or think of me within yourself. And in chapter 9, text 34, Krishna says, manmana bhava mad bhakto, always think of me and become my devotee. Krishna also told Arjuna in chapter 10, text 7, that being sexually convinced of his opulence will purify him and inspire him to engage in pure devotional service. Sexually, a very important word, isn't it? Sexually. Sexually being convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he will take me home back to Godhead. That conviction must be there sexually, not artificially, not lip service wise. Book says so, I accept law. Cannot. It must be inside the heart. Bhagavan said, my Guru Maharaj said, no questions asked. He says walk, you walk. He says jump, you jump. He says roll over, you roll over. Because we wear one. We all wear dog tags. We are the dog of our spiritual master. So like that, similarly, when Bhagavan says, we have to accept that factually. That is very important. Then there is conviction. Then Shraddha, faith, has got meaning. Otherwise, no meaning. It is just theoretical. Everything is theoretical. You know what they say? A brinjal in theory cannot be used in the curry. Right? So you have to understand that. So it cannot be. In theory, in the book, you see the brinjal, you can say and put in the curry. It won't work. So it must be factual. Must go to Kepo. I'm promoting Kepo today. You must buy and then you must cook for Krishna. So that is important. Very important. So Krishna, forgive me. So therefore, Arjuna wants to hear more about Krishna from Krishna himself. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains that Arjuna has asked about Krishna's all-pervading opulence on behalf of the common man who finds it easier to concentrate his mind on physical representations than on Krishna's spiritual form. Now when you tell them that Krishna is like this, Shyamam Trivanga Lalitam Nityata Prakasam Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna is the color of a new rain cloud. New rain cloud. Doesn't look so nice, what? How come he is in this color? So mind goes to speculate. Why? Because you have your minute independence, you like and you have your dislikes and your likes and so on, and then it goes on and branches out and branches out. Finally, there is no faith. So here we can see that physical representation . So it is the benefit for the commoners. Arjuna, being a Vaishnava and a devotee, out of compassion for all, has asked the Supreme Lord to further elaborate on his opulence. So again, Vaishnava. They say, O Vaishnava Thakur. Right? That song? O Vaishnava Thakur. What? Krishna se tumara, Krishna dite paro, tumara sakati ache, amito kangal, daitava pache pache. Right? Krishna, Krishna boli, daitava pache pache. So, in other words, Krishna is yours. You can deliver him to whomsoever you like. And I'm just running after you, screaming or crying out, Krishna, Krishna. So, like that, Arjuna is so merciful that he is actually asking these questions, being compassionate on the living entities who will be sitting in Virama Kaliman temple. Is it not? So that is how merciful, in fact it is for all mankind, not only this temple premises. So, the following verse, that means as of this verse finished, 18 finished, from the verse 19 onwards, the Supreme Lord will begin his description on how we can actually remember him, viewing the greatest manifestations and in this world and how we can actually understand Krishna by this material great manifestation. See, for example, you're sitting Sunday. Let's say you skip Bhagavatam class. I found you in the beach. You're sitting there. Sun is rising. You're chanting your japa. And then you see such a beautiful sunrise. So nice. Arunodaya. Right? So beautiful. Then what do you remember? You remember the maker. Right? You remember the maker of the scene. A painter can paint a beautiful picture. Then after that, everybody will come and stand there and look. And look, and look, and look. They call it what? Abstract. They have to abstract their mind and they have thrown it away. There they are staying there and staring at, I don't know what, for hours. And then everybody has their own theory. But here, Krishna has painted the entire nature, Mother Nature, and such a beautiful Arunodaya. Then you remember, Krishna is behind all these things. Greatest manifestation, material manifestation. And then, sometimes, this one you will only see in TV, volcanic eruptions. You won't be there. Has anyone gone and seen a volcanic eruption while it's erupting? Okay, I went there to volcano, but it erupted, you know, a few hundred years ago. I just went there, you know, just for fun, to show. I also went. So when we were in Gianyar in Bali, we actually went to this volcano, and you can understand what is the power of Mother Nature, and Mother Nature works for Krishna, and you can see his opulences from there. And then if you've seen a tornado, nobody sees a tornado directly, definitely on TV. So the Himalayas, for example, when we see, you know, how vast, how high, how majestic, unconquerable, you know, that sort of thing. The vast deep ocean is amazing, really amazing. So similarly, there are few great manifestations in this world. And by observing the greatness of this material manifestation, you can understand the glimpse. It's only a glimpse, not the opulence, but only the glimpse of the opulence of the Supreme Lord. Can you imagine? That when actually Brahma knocked on the doorkeeper came and opened the door and he said, yes. He said, can you please let Krishna know that Brahma has come? 1 second. And he closed the door and he went back. And then a few minutes later he came out, opened the door, and he said, Krishna wants to know, which Brahma are you? The forehead frowned. Huh? What is this? Which Brahma? I am the Brahma. I am the only one. He realized it that way, you see. So gradually he walked inside, and then he paid his obeisances, and then he stood up, and Krishna was really smiling. Because Krishna knows everything. My dear Lord, when I knocked the door, your doorkeeper asked me a very strange question. He said, which Brahma are you? Are there any more Brahmas other than me? And the Lord didn't answer. He just smiled and looked at a distance. What happened? You know, there was some sort of dust arising in the horizon. And it's coming nearer. It was like thousands of birds, millions of birds. And it was coming closer and closer. Then he could see actually they were all Brahmaji. And they were all coming and landing on the courtyard. Some had 5, some had 6, some had 7, some had 8, some had 50, some had 100 heads. And some had even 1,000 heads. And Krishna was just standing there. And Brahma was like beginning to feel like a small mosquito. Ayyayo. He was thinking like that. And then all of them paid their obeisances and they all stood up and together they said, my dear Lord, you have summoned us. Is there anything that you would like us to do? And the Lord smiled and he says, no, I just wanted to see all of you. Please take care. And they all left, just the way they came. And then he just looked at the Brahma. And then Brahma realized his menial position. And that is Lord Brahma, the perfect living entity created. And he's the creator of this material manifestation. Can you imagine? Who can understand Krishna there? Us, we have to try through the mercy of the devotees, Guru and Krishna, like that. But in this day and age, nobody remembers God. Nobody remembers God, like what I was mentioning to you just now. But they remember one thing that they all are afraid of. What is that? Death. That they remember. Right?
Oh yes.
Krishna said, to those who don't believe in God, I come to them as death. And that one nobody can deny. Then I will take away your beautiful wife, your bank balance, and your care for bag. Everything will go. Right? So that we have to believe in. So you can understand from here. Krishna says, Asmi Yamaha, I am the Lord of Death, in 10:29. We go further down. So we have to understand these two texts now. Is the entire purpose of these two texts is to actually make us understand that this is one way of realizing Krishna, but this is not the ultimate way of realizing Krishna. But the question here asked by Arjuna is for those people who are in that sort of mental frame, who do not understand, who do not have any tinge of loving devotional service, who just want to know, wow, so nice, huh? How, huh? God, la, God, He created. Oh, God. Then they realize. That is how it is. See, recently we were discussing something very significant with all the aspiring devotees, and it was after being in our so-called devotional service for maybe, you know, some time, and one can take everything for granted. Is it not? Early morning you're waking up and you're doing all your things. Everything will become mechanistic. Is it not? After some time, that mechanistic mentality must be thrown away. It's very important. Right? Because familiarity breeds disease. Then you will never understand Krishna. Never understand Krishna consciousness. So, this subject came about when we were discussing the same verse with someone, and they were saying that devotees tend to take for granted, guru for granted, you know, the devotees for granted, and even the Lord. And for someone who's taken devotional service, and for someone who's a sadhaka, someone who's practicing devotee, when such practices are made, one has to consciously offer obeisances to the Lord. That means, sometimes when we walk into the altar room, we put something there. So what we do first thing, we have to clap our hands 3 times, or ring a bell, and then you enter the room. Alright? Then immediately you bow down, and then you put maybe some sabji, because there's some more things to bring. So, immediately you go, you come up, and then your next sabji or next plate comes in, you don't bow down. Why? Just now I do ready, what? Cannot. Because that means you are taking the Lord for granted. Similarly, when spiritual master is seated, every time you come in contact physically in the presence of your spiritual master, you have to bow down. Every time you see a sannyasi, you bow down once. But Guru Maharaj, every time you see. So these are etiquettes. See, the thing is that these practices will take away the familiarity breeds disease theory. And then keep us in our, you know, leash. That leash is very important. So here, one should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, his activities, everything. That must be consciously done, every time. Consciously done. Because the Lord will know, He will smile. You see Krishna? When you go to the altar room, you see Krishna here? Rukmini Doragdi? What is He doing? He is smiling. His smile means a million things. Oh, never bow down, huh? Taking me for granted, is he? That's also a smile. Oh, you came after all these years. That's also a smile. It means a million things. But it's individually catered for. Sail it. Be careful. Right? So in any case, this we wanted to highlight to you today, that we have to be very cautious when we are doing things in spiritual life. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. And Prabhupada very significantly chose, what is the name of the movement? Krishna consciousness. So how come sometimes Krishna unconsciousness is there? Because taking for granted. So we have to be very cautious. So if one is always conscious of Krishna, then there is immunity from this disease. And someone one time was in conversation with us, asked this question. The person said, will the Lord come if I called Him? Because I am most fallen and disqualified. So what is the answer? Because that Actually, that realization itself is a qualification. That I am most fallen and disqualified, that itself is a qualification for one to be in the service of the Lord. Because humility is the foremost qualification, right? Pranarapi sunichena. So that is the foremost. Chanting and remembering the Lord is the cure for every mental disease. So in the modern day of life, you have come across this acronym. Every one of us has come across. Sometimes the bosses say, sometimes the friends, sometimes at home, sometimes even children tell us. ASAP. What does that mean? Huh? As soon as possible. Correct? ASAP. Is it not? Now here in spiritual life, how do we use this acronym? Okay? There's work to do for all our working adults, right? There's deadlines to be met, and you have no time to spare, so you are in a hurry and you are scurrying away. So what do? You do a ASAP. Always say a prayer. Not as soon as possible. Okay? So similarly, in the midst of family chaos, quality time is rare. Just do your best and leave everything else to the Bhagavan. Leave the rest to Krishna. And what do? Always say a prayer. Same thing. ASAP. Now change. From today onwards, it doesn't mean as soon as possible. As soon as possible means only one thing. Chanakya Pandit said something in Hitopadesha. He said, one should perform his material duties of acquiring wealth as if he is not subjected to death or old age. But, put a big but there, B-U-T, he said, but one should perform his religious duties as if death has caught him by his hair. Can you imagine? So that is important. So always say a prayer. Remember that. You're in office, you're in the train. every time you do the ASAP. Alright? It seems like your worries are more than you can bear. Slow down. Take a breather. Okay. Always say a prayer. So God knows how stressful life is. He wants to ease our cares and He will respond to all your needs. What do? Say a prayer. Always say a prayer. So over here, why we cannot understand Krishna in this context is Nayasya Deva Rishaya Padam Vidur Jatur Punaha Ko Rihati Gatam Iritam Yada Nastasya Kritibir Vichistato Durat Yaya Nu Akrama Sa Mabatu. Now, this prayer is in 836 Srimad Bhagavatam. An artist on stage being covered by attractive dresses and dancing with different movements is not understood by his audience. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages, and certainly not by those who are unintelligent like animals. Neither the demigods and sages nor the unintelligent can understand the features of the Lord, nor can they express in words His actual position. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead give me protection. Who was saying this? Gajendra. Gajendra was saying this. See, it was in line with this verse, so I actually picked it up. Madrik Prapanna Pashu Pashu Vimokshanaya Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya Namo Layaya Samshena Sarvatanu Brin Manasi Satitha Satya Drishe Bhagavate Bhuhate Namaste. And this prayer we must recite. Why? Because we are not qualified. So this prayer is very significant. And the translation goes like this. Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you, you who are supremely liberated, certainly will release me from this dangerous position. Certainly. Saw the conviction? This is factually accepting. Indeed, being supremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. Incessantly. Why? Why does he use this word incessantly? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutana dharmasya sadatmanam sajamaham. After that, paritnaya sadhu nam vinashayata duskritam dharma samtharpanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Incessantly. He's coming and coming and coming. Your partial feature as Paramatma, you are situated in the heart of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as the direct transcendental knowledge, and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's how Gajendra concluded his prayer. Aren't we not animals? Dvipadapasu, two-legged animals. What do we know? What time is the sadam? Sometimes. I'm speaking about myself. So the point here is, we have to come to understand our actual position. Then the humbleness will set in. When the humbleness sets in, there is also another qualification that sets in. That qualification is faith. Surely the Lord will save me. I know I am fallen. That's why he has a special name called Dinabandhu. Dinabandhu means savior of the fallen souls. Right? And who can be more fallen than I am? Just imagine, if we are thinking like that, someone else who was much more greater thought something else. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What did he say? He said, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they are all going back home. What is this Bhaktivinoda Thakur doing here? Amazing, isn't it? So, therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to this process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world and will eventually receive the supreme award of Krishna. What is that award? Krishna Prema. Loving devotional service unto Sri Radha and Krishna. Thank you very much. Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we would like to ask for any corrections and comments. Anything that you would like to add on to? On this subject, on this text, 16 and 17, or whatever that I have spoken. Questions? We will direct it to the senior devotees on the side. So, our mental platform, it has to be very, very careful, because spiritual life, they used to say, is walking on a razor's blade. And it is like a double-edged blade, not a single side. Now, shaving, we used to say it like this. The olden way, we have two blades. On both sides, it's sharp, right? They have a crocodile which is cut. I couldn't believe it. Gajendra Vimochan was there. Method. That was the name of the blade. So, in any case, it is double-edged sword. So, when we are practicing, we should not take anything for granted. Anything for granted. It is very, very important. Because we do not know when Yamaraj is coming. We do not know when which organ is going to fail. We do not know. I'm not talking about the playing organ, our bodily organ. So, we do not know which organ will fail, where what will stop. We do not know. Right? Our life is just like a bubble. We show some color and then pop. That's it. So, we have to become a little bit more serious and in our own self become a little bit more disciplined, strict. You know, sometimes we make exceptions. Can la, little bit late for work, you know. So the next day, what do we do? Get up a little bit more earlier. Then we correct that mistake. So like this, we have to actually do a bit of, micro bit of tapasya for Krishna consciousness. Right? We cannot call all this tapasya because it's not tapasya actually. It is actually the normal, fundamental, it's the basic thing. Right? The basic things we call it tapasya, then tapasya is what? I don't know. Ekadasi, no, today, I can't wait for 7:14 tomorrow. Breaking fast time. That is not fasting, huh? That is feasting in the mind. Oh. Ooh, paneer pulao. Cannot. You can't do that sort of thing. That is not devotional service. Devotional service, Ekadasi, means remembering the Lord. Alright? And discussing or reading. And of course, chastising one's own mind. So it is very important that we keep our mind in this context. I shouldn't have spoken so long, yeah? There's a question coming up. Yes, Mother. जय हरे कृष्ण जय ओके मदर हैज ब्रॉट अप अ वेरी सिग्निफिकेंट क्वेश्चन ऑन चैंटिंग whether when you chant in your japa do we with music do we sing or do we just chant as it is and pronounce the syllables so on this context I'd like to repeat what his holiness Tamakrishna maharaj our guru maharaj taught us that he said that when you are chanting don't try to imagine krishna Don't try to do anything other than chanting. So what you do is, take a nice bath at 3:30 in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning, Brahma Muhurta time, and then what you do is, dress with fresh clothing, put on your tilak, sit comfortably, and now tell your mind, my dear mind, please do not disturb me with any thoughts because I am going to start chanting. And ask permission. Ask the mind to cooperate. Then after that, you sit down and you chant. Make sure the beats don't touch your feet. And if you're chanting with a beat back, that is the best. So when you're chanting, you pronounce every syllable clearly and both your ears. You concentrate on that syllable that you're pronouncing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it roughly takes about 10 minutes for one round. If you're chanting nicely, or 8 minutes, around there. So this is how you chant. You don't run through the chantings. It is not. So the moment you chant and your mind puts in a thought, that one round is not counted. You have to chant again. Sudhanam. Sudhanam, Sudha Harinam means you're chanting. Chanting, 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 chanting. And then suddenly, I put the pot in the... I finish. Start all over again. So he says, do not count all those rounds with that thought. Count those rounds without thought, and that is considered as one round. Like that you chant 16 rounds. That is counted as proper chanting. Now when he says singing, then you only do it congregationally or you sit with karata or mridanga or harmonium and then you're chanting the holy name and that. The reason why you felt that the devotees chanting was so nice because the devotees were chanting so nicely. Simple. And the devotee was chanting very sincerely. So when that happens, it is stated susukam gamyam, joyfully performed. So to the devotee, chanting is not a chore. It is a joyfully performed feat. It's something that he is doing, that he is enjoying himself, in the sense that he is relishing the holy names very nicely. That's why you could connect in that same meter, in that same frequency. So chanting should be done that way. Because there are other chantings which you are doing, right, which I have described previously. They call it the dive bomb chanting in the morning. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Ram Ram, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. It's called, you know, like your dive bomb chanting and then goes up. So that is called dive bomb chanting. And then we have the chatterbox chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram. Clinton, how? Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. You saw the news today, no? Hare Ram, Ram, Ram Ram. So that is called a chatterbox chanting. Of course, we have the other one, which is called the telescopic chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. That is called the telescope chanting. Oh, these are all offensive chanting. Alright? This is not chanting. This is just going through the motion because you want to finish the numbers. Call 1-6. 16 rounds. So you want to chant like that, then it is not Sudhanam. It is Namabhas. Namabhas means chanting with offenses. Of course, Prabhu said chanting with offenses. Don't chant la. Finish. And that's it. Krishna will be coming with big danda. No. Nabhabhas starts like that. Chanting starts like that. Then slowly and gradually you come to the point of understanding and chanting properly. Alright? So continue chanting. Continue chanting but chant in this particular manner. This is proper chanting. Then count that one round which has no thought whatsoever but you only listen. 108 names. Just listen 108 names. But one round. Then you go to the next round. like that. So, I hope I answered that question. Yeah. So, we will now conclude. Grantra Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Nitai Gopi Manandi.
Jai Nitai Sudarshan Das Adhikari Prabhu ki.